Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. A book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 24. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, where we left off last time. Just before I begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to join me and be the live radio audience each Sunday, 5 p.m. You can be my Amen Corner. And that's every Sunday at my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, 5 p.m. Come and be in the radio audience. That's when I record live this radio program. But after it's over, I open up the holy bench and we pray for everybody. We pray for the sick and we pray for anything that bothers you. And now, Mark chapter 4, verse 24. As I told you last week, the title of this whole chapter, and this is one complete teaching, it's just so long I had to break it in half, is called Seed, Time, and Harvest. And I get this from Genesis 8:22, which says, "While earth remains, seed, time, harvest, winter and summer, cold and heat, day and night shall not cease." Jesus taught us last time that the whole kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and remember, the kingdom is a king in his dominion. Jesus is king on your heart, so we're in his dominion. That the entire kingdom of heaven is regulated on this principle of seed, sow the seed, give it time, and harvest. And Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, you will never understand the mystery of God. So last week, he gave us a parable, and he said a sower went forth to sow. But we learned that the sower is you, Christian, and what you're supposed to sow is the word of God, not Facebook, not what somebody tweets you, not a book about the book, not some man's 1, 2, 3 points in one verse sermon. No, 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 no. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. And he said this, you will be rejected by the majority of people. Some of the seed you sow will fall on hard hearts. They won't even blink an eye. It means nothing to them. Some of the seed of God's word that you sow will fall on people who do love it and they enjoy it. But they have no root. They're not rooted and grounded. They're shallow. And so when afflictions and persecutions for the word's sake arise, they give up. They have no perseverance. Don't forget, perseverance wins. And then some will fall on hearts that really do like it, but they are so caught up with the cares of the world, busy, 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 the work, the family, the job, the fun, the social life, the this, the that, and they never get around to bearing any fruit. But Jesus said, let me encourage you. Somebody will get it, and some hearts will respond, and they will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100. Now remember, the parable of the sower is like a farmer with a seed bag on his back, and he walks in the cultivated ground, and it's called in agriculture broadcasting. He just perpetually broadcasts the word. All right, let's learn some more about sowing. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. What he's saying is, make sure before you sow that you have been hearing the truth. Not a lifelike proverb, not somebody's book, not somebody's opinion, not traditions of men which make void the word. Make sure that you know the mystery of God, the three earth and heaven ages. We taught it in here, 2 Peter 3:5, and we've taught it in Genesis elsewhere. Make sure you know about the seduction in the garden. Make sure you know about the Nephilim, the fallen angels. Make sure you know about the seven trumps so you can tell people that the Antichrist comes, the sixth trump. And make sure you know the salvation plan that God sent his son, who paid our sin debt, shed his blood for the remission of sins, arose and is coming again.
You that hear shall more be given.
I can absolutely attest to this. You know, you just can't outgive God. A beautiful lady, Dr. Mary Horgan, I used to drive up to Melbourne and play the piano in her church. She's in heaven now. She said, you know, you just can't outgive God. You give out the front door and he'll give in the back door. You give out the back door and he'll give in the front door. And so you see more will be given. I always tell you at the end of this broadcast, what you get is not yours to keep. Everything you get, you're supposed to give it away, and God will give you more. So for every truth that I give out to people, God gives me some more truth. He'll do that for you.
For he that hath, to him shall be given.
And Luke said it even better. Luke 6:38, Luke said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God cause men to give into your bosom. The same measure you meet with all will be measured to you again. And that's sowing anything. That's sowing love and kindness and caring and service and money, but especially the word.
Hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath.
Uh-oh. What he's saying here is when you sow the word of truth into a mind that never shares it, actually it's going to finally die in him. Jesus gave us another parable to explain that. He gave one man 10 talents. He gave another man 5 talents. And he gave another man 1 talent. And he said, go and multiply. Each one, the 10 and the 5, went and multiplied theirs. And Jesus was very proud of them. The man with 1 talent hid it and never used it. Jesus took it from him and gave it to somebody else. When you've got something that's true, you better go and tell. You want to go and tell because you love the brethren.
26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God.
So Jesus says, this sowing time and harvesting, this is the way the kingdom of God works. And so see, all of you understand the kingdom is at hand. The king is Jesus and the kingdom is his dominion. You're in it. So this is a principle, this sowing and time and harvest. I've lived by it for many years in every area of my life. It's not just the word, it's in everything that concerns you, social life, friendships, money. If you're lonely, go sow a friendship to someone. In other words, all these things. He says this is the way the kingdom operates. Own seed, time, harvest. Jesus is telling you that. This is a jewel.
As if a man should cast seed into the ground, 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, it knoweth not how. 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade and then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear.
So he gives a second example, and what this one means to you is don't be impatient. That good soil, that good heart that you sowed this, someday it's going to bear fruit. I had an experience where a girl didn't get saved until 18 years later. In other words, don't get discouraged. And just like you don't understand how a seed of corn, you wonder what's going on down there. You don't go and pull up the soil every day and say, hey, what are you doing there? Come on up. You leave it alone. You wait for it patiently. And then one day you go out and you see a little blade. And a couple of days you see a stalk. And then you see the whole corn stalk and the beautiful ear and that pretty silk tassel on the corn. Oh, my goodness. Do you know I used to get that silk tassel and make wigs for my dolls? Just a little aside there. So the point of this, when Jesus is saying, be patient, it's going to happen. The good soil is going to produce.
29, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, Because the harvest is come.
Okay, what he's referring to here now is the end of time, and that's going to really be harvest, and we're going to all reap a harvest of what we sown. Matthew tells us that Jesus is coming on a cloud. He's going to have a sickle, and he's going to use the sickle to separate the wheat from the tares. The wheat are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one, the Zawan, the bitter seed, the Kenites. We'll tell you more about the tares in a few minutes.
And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? With what comparison shall we compare it?
So Jesus says, let me compare this a little bit more so you'll understand that this is an essential teaching for you. Let me explain a little bit better.
31. It is like a grain of mustard seed.
Mustard seed is the tiniest seed. It's insignificant. There's no way when you see it that you would think anything great could ever come from that. Whoa, that's a tiny seed you sowed. Maybe it was just four little words to a broken heart, a broken life, someone going the wrong way, someone needing Jesus. A tiny seed. Surely it's not worth anything.
When it is sown into the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth.
The least of the least.
32. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches.
It has branches all in it, all over the place are branches. Now look what happens.
That the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it.
Well, the fowls of the air are kind of the dirty birds. They come. I mean, it attracts, it's so big and so powerful that it attracts clean birds, dirty birds, it attracts everybody. Now, I have two illustrations. This is saying that you might say that seed was not enough. Sometimes one word is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Just one word of God's word. There was a Sunday school teacher that didn't have anybody in his Sunday school class. Well, very few. But a young man came in, and he was 16 years old, and the Sunday school teacher planted the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the young man. The young man was Billy Graham, the only student that the Sunday school teacher could reach. We don't know the Sunday school teacher's name, but he planted that seed. Billy Graham took the gospel of Jesus Christ all over this planet. Now here is Jesus. He's teaching this motley crew, and one of them is a traitor. They're fishermen. They're not the most intelligent people, but they love God. And he says, I am going to build my church, and you're going to be in charge of building it. Because Peter had said to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, on this rock, on this declaration, what you just said, Peter, I will build my church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And sure enough, Jesus was crucified, he arose from the dead and ascended, and then at Pentecost, these disciples, Peter, stood up and preached a great sermon. Peter began the first church in Jerusalem. That was the first church. There had never been a church before. And the other disciples did that, and Philip. And then along came the Apostle Paul, and he put churches in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonica, Corinthians, all over the place. And now look, after the Assyrian captured the 10 tribes of the house of Israel, and we migrated over the Caucasus Mountains and settled in Europe, we then had the Church of England. And then the Church of England, some of us broke off and came to the United States of America. The United States of America has a church on every corner. I'm not saying it's perfect. We got a lot of foul birds in there, but we got a church on every corner. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus prophesied the church had not even begun. He was training the people to begin it. And look, here it is. What a prophecy. What a prophecy. What a prophecy. Now, there was listening there one of the disciples named Matthew. Remember, he was Levi the tax collector? So this touched Matthew's heart, so God let him write a book. It's called Matthew in the Bible. In Matthew 13, he goes deeper than Mark. He tells a parable about a soul, and Jesus tells it. In Mark 13, Jesus says, "While men slept, an enemy came and sowed a bitter seed." Bitter is a wine poison. Then Jesus continues in Mark 13, "The enemy that sowed them, the bitter seed, is the devil. And the bitter seed are the children of the wicked one," real live children of the devil. John 8:44, he says to these children of the devil, "You are of your father, the devil." Okay, so to sow your seeds, you need to understand what happened in the garden. Here's the deception in the garden. Satan was right there. He has many play actor names. Revelation 12 says he's called devil, Satan, dragon, serpent. Right there in the garden, the man Adam and the woman Eve had not been together yet. God had just created Eve and brought her to the man. And here comes the serpent, but he's not a snake. The first truth you need to know is that this is an allegory, just like sowing the seed is not real seed, it's the word, okay? So the serpent beguiled Eve. The Greek word is exopatio in Corinthians. Paul says this. And planted a seed in her, a wicked seed, and he was Cain. Cain. John 8:44. Cain, the first murderer. And the children of Cain are the Kenites, the tares I told you about. And they act like they are our brother Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. They have infiltrated the Christian church here at these end times with their lifelike proverbs and all of their diluting of the Word of God. They have infiltrated the government of the United States, especially during the last 8 years, and we've been cleaning and praying that out. But see, you need to know this, because the Kenites are going to gather around the fake Messiah and cause people to think that he is Jesus. So when you go and sow, you need to know this too.
33, and with many such parables spake he unto them as they were able to hear it.
Remember, not everyone can hear the truth. Paul says God sent a spirit of slumber, stupor, over some Christians because they don't have the integrity to continue even when they know the truth.
34, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things unto his disciples.
He reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. He reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets.
35, and the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side.
Everything Jesus says is important. He's training these disciples, and they will remember this word, because 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus knows he's to be the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb. What he means to them and what he means to you is, I will help you pass over all the troubles of life, over all of the sorrows, and over all the temptation of Satan. And I will help you safely pass over. Death cannot defeat you. Death will pass over you. And you will have eternal life on the other side in heaven.
36, and when they had sent away the multitude, it took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also there other little ships. 37, and there arose a great storm of wind.
Oh my goodness, the prophets of fear, that's the media, would call this a hurricane. Do you remember in the book of Acts that a hurricane came and tried to kill Paul and his name was Euroclydon? Now see, some people think hurricanes are sent by God. No. Read about Paul there. Jesus came and saved Paul. He said, no, you're going to live, okay? Listen to me. Have you seen the eye in a hurricane? That is not God's eye. Hurricanes are demons. Now let's see how Jesus deals with this Cain in a hurry, this storm.
The waves beat into the ship, so now it was now full. 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?
They were so afraid they thought they were going to die. The ship was about to drown.
39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Cease, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm.
Did you notice Jesus didn't pray to the Father then? Okay, I told you a hurricane is a demon. Do you remember when he went to visit Peter and Peter's mother-in-law was sick of a fever? Now, Mark does not say this, but another gospel says Jesus spoke to the fever and the fever left. How can a fever hear Jesus? Because it's a demon. How about the powerful centurion who had servants to come and go and work for him, but his faithful servant was sick? And he came to Jesus in the throng, and he said, Master, my faithful servant is sick. If you will, you can heal him. Jesus says, I will come. I will come. And then the centurion did a strange thing. He said, I am a man of authority just like you. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this servant, come, and he comes. I say, go fetch it, and he goes fetch it. They are my servants. I speak to them, and they do what I say. And Jesus says, I have not seen such great faith in all Israel. Jesus marveled, and the selfsame hour, the servant was healed. The centurion knew that the kingdom of heaven is activated by the spoken word of God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:20. Death and life are the power of the tongues. Words have power. Remember he said, speak to the mountain? When we get to Mark 16, we're going to touch this more. So, what do you do when a storm comes in your life, whatever the storm is? Do you listen to the prophets of fear in the media who are so happy to say, hey, you're going to die, boy, we're getting the news? Are you going to be a person, a prophet of faith? Here's what you do. You're already prayed up because you pray without ceasing. You're supposed to be. You don't ever get behind in praying. You're already one with God. The Spirit's already on you. You turn in the direction of the storm and you say storm and you call it by name, okay? In the name of Jesus and on the basis of the victory of the blood covenant, I command you to stop. Peace, be still. I command you to turn around to see, disintegrate, dissolve, die. Lose your power. Wind stop, rain stop. The winds and the waves obey his will. Peace, be still in Jesus' name. Now, what if when the prophets of fear, the media who want this, it's publicity, and also so they can blame President Trump, what if they start prophesying this and everybody believes it? It's done unto you as you believe. So see, that's why the hurricanes have power. But what if we had a man or woman of God say, wait a minute, let us pray. Let me show you how to speak to this. Every time a prophet of doom came up their fear, a prophet of faith would come up. And then we'd get all the Christians in America to stop, be still, and speak to the storm and agree in Jesus' name. Ha ha! We'd have this enemy conquered. Amen. Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents. That's devils and demons. You say, but a hurricane is a big one. He didn't put any conditions on it. He said all. He said all.
40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?
What you do is defeat fear with faith. And faith comes by the word of God. So you speak the word of God, not only in storms, but in all your personal life. You'll never get a better medicine than the word of God. You're going to have to learn that that's your answer.
41, and they feared exceedingly,
Now, this fear is not terror. This was awe-inspiring. They were so in awe of Jesus. They revered him.
Said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
What manner of man is this? Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." God with you in your storm, God with you in your boat, God with you in every area of your life. The winds and the waves obey his will. Peace be still. It's time now for Mystery Moment. Next week we're going to begin the chapter 5, where we're going to find out what was waiting Jesus on the other side. It's very fascinating. It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce to you a man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. I mean, what would happen, right, if we all got together as one body and spoke against that storm?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. It'd be great.
It would. Our first question, why would the Philistines return the Ark of the Covenant to Israel?
I know after they were so sneaky to steal it from Hophni and Phinehas, the bad priests, the sons of Eli. Well, what happened? They rolled the Ark of the Covenant into the temple of their god, whose name was Dagon. He had a fish head and a man's body. So the next morning, the Dagon's priest went into the temple to see if everything was all right, and he found his god Dagon lying prostrate before the Ark of the Covenant, worshiping the Lord. Woo, I did good. He picked him back up and stood him up. Come on, God, you got to stand up. That's a little G. So the next morning, the priest went back in there again, and this time God didn't mess around. Remember, God's in the Ark of the Covenant. So there he found Dagon. Yes, he was on his face before the ark, but his head was severed. His arm was severed. He was a dead Dagon. Doggone. The fake god is dead. So then God didn't stop with that. God had a little sense of humor. He gave all of the Philistine men hemorrhoids. At that point, they said, "Whoo, there's a real God in Israel." So they made a new ox cart, put the Ark of the Covenant on it, and rolled it out in a field where it was left for a long time. Finally, King David discovered it and had it brought back to Jerusalem. That's the story. Thank you. Well, David left his stuff in the cart, not the ox cart. I just realized that. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
"And the stars will be fallen from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest ends of the earth to the farthest ends of heaven."
That is so beautiful. What is it? Got your scripture there?
Revelations.
Revelation. That is so beautiful. That fits right there. And that's when he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. Thank you, Scott Merson. That is beautiful. I am going to pray for the sick, but before I do, I want to make sure everybody's saved. If you're not saved and not sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me, please, and mean it. And God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Guide me into all truth.
Guide me into all truth.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge the kingdom of God.
To enlarge the kingdom of God.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I love you.
I love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. So if you were saved and prayed there, please, I invite you to call and leave that message on my voice machine. Leave your name clearly, and I will pray for you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask now that by the Holy Spirit, that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. In the name and the power of Jesus, colds and flu and bronchial infections, I command you to cease, desist, be gone in Jesus' name. Let the beautiful Holy Ruach flow into the lungs, into the throats. Let the coughing cease. Let the strength and energy come back and the life force come into you. Let your backs be healed and your feet be healed and your head be healed. Let there be strength, renewing of youth in Jesus' mighty name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, he sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. He restores health and cure to you in the name of Jesus on the grounds of the blood covenant. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Now, if you're one of those recipients of the healing, I would invite you to call me also. Don't forget, Sundays, 5 p.m., you can come and be a part of the live radio broadcast. You'll be my Amen Corner. Say amen and shout and bring some life into this, okay? Amen. Then I'll pray for you. And Wednesdays, 6 p.m., Word and Prayer. And Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I are here to pray for you. And walk in, call in, or get your prayer request to us beforehand. And of course, everybody, tell everybody about the Trumpet of Truth on the net, WMIEFM.com. I'll say it again, WMIEFM.com, on demand. All these books of the Bible are on there. God bless you. Now, remember that Jesus is the living Word. And his name is called the Word of God. And he said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Again, everything you get is not yours to keep. Give it away and God will give you more. So this is Sherry Medlock, your host, and my twin friend Scott Merson, saying thank you so much for listening. We love you. God bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And until next time, not only go and sow, but go and blow the trumpet of truth.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the Word. Tune in next week at this same time for the Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
The greatest love that anyone could ever know, it overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. To see your kingdom come, and in my heart I pray you let your will be done. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. And I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in awe of you. see you face to face. Your grace amazing takes me home. I'll trust in you. And I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in
to
sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. To God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Give to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Solace there in his arms. Oh, in his arms we'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are my solace. Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have. Jesus, sing it out, Jesus, oh Jesus, oh what a friend we have in Jesus, thank you Lord, oh Jesus, oh what a friend we have in Jesus, oh Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Lord, come now. Let your glory.
Calling Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Justice avenged for our Now what else shall I need?
So take me to a place where I can see you face to face. And all I wanna do is worship you.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Hi friends, Paul Esposito here, station manager of 91.5 FM WMIE Radio. I just want to remind everyone our fall fundraiser known as The Offering is kicking off this Monday morning around 7 a.m. We have devoted the week of October the 15th to raise up $35,000 for this radio ministry to be fully funded and to continue for six more months. The good news is we're already at $15,145, and that is due to all of you, our faithful listeners, who have already responded to the letter which went out in the mail about a month ago. We're over $15,000. Our remaining balance is under $20,000 now. If you'd like to help us with our fall fundraiser, stay tuned here starting Monday morning at 7 o'clock. Prayerfully consider how God wants to use you to help support this radio station. And our number here, 321-632-1000. Please keep us in your prayers over the weekend that we'll be able to raise the money we need for this radio.